This is the East Idaho Prepcast on IdahoSports.com.
That's right. Welcome in. It is another edition of the East Idaho Prepcast on IdahoSports.com, presented by No Vape Idaho, Idaho Public Television's campaign to raise awareness about the dangers of youth vaping. Be smart. Don't start. We're here to talk the biggest stories from District 5 and 6 athletics and activities from the week that was. I'm Brandon Bainey. Let's bring in our East Idaho Prepcast expert, Sean Kane. What's up, Sean?
Hey, how's it going? I'm happy to be here. It's going good. You know, things are rolling. The sun is not out, but East Idaho is out and about playing some sports. We'll put it that way. We got some track going on. Some softball was going on live during my practice. Century versus Idaho Falls, the first home match there or game there. And this is kind of a cool story, Brandon. I had to go to a tennis match in Rigby yesterday, but the softball coach asked us, tennis and track and baseball, hey, could you guys come help us get the field ready? Because they got dirt, right? And the dirt had all these rocks in it, like big pumice stones. And so yesterday, in a joint effort so they could have this game today, track and baseball, everyone was out there helping picking the rocks out of that dirt, and so they got the game going. So I thought that was pretty cool. I mean, I definitely would have helped. I wasn't there.
Right. I assume they just took some rakes and raked that out.
Yeah. Well, I think they were actually just kind of picking them out because they're like pumice, you know, about like that big.
Oh.
Yeah. So they're trying to get that out and get it all ready to go. But yeah, hopefully some rakes, maybe a fine comb. I don't know.
Yeah, comb in the field. That's there's our title.
So that was pretty cool. So they're able to get out and play today. But it's always great when schools come together to help out for a common cause, and I like to see that, and it's great stuff.
For sure. All right. Hey, we've got our first chat here, Sean. It is from Sam Buffington up in my neck of the woods in North Idaho. Brandon, you wear hats? Ha ha. And hey, Sean. Yes. So when I am working and podcasting and broadcasting, right, I try to look professional, and I usually am wearing a nice shirt and I'm looking good. You're getting casual, Brandon, today, because we're after office hours, Sean. It's 6:30 in East Idaho, 5:30 where I live. So you're getting casual, Brandon, with the hat and also my ESPN t-shirt. Really, the reason I'm wearing this, Sean, is because I would like to announce that I am decommitting from IdahoSports.com, and I'm actually hitting the portal and transferring to ESPN.
That's now 5 out of, 8 broadcasters have now entered the portal. What will Paul do?
Yeah, he's going to have to churn that roster over. I don't know. It's going to be tough. No, all joking aside, I'm dressed casually, and you'll probably hear some chaotic background noise. My wife just got home from work, and my brother came to visit the rest of this week and weekend from Montana, and he just got here too. So our dogs are all excited and a lot of commotion and hoopla going on. So if you hear weird noises in the background, that's what's going on there. So this is literally the last thing standing between me and quality family time, Sean. So
I kind of feel like I'm family, but if that's how we want to go down the road, I get it.
Yeah, for sure. All right. So you were unable to help the Century softball team get those pumice stones out of their dirt yesterday because you and the Century Diamondback tennis team headed north to Rigby for a little regular season competition. And, the results were what they were. But the highlight, I thought, Sean, was the weather. You sent me a picture from yesterday's action. I'm going to throw it up on the screen here.
Yeah, that's Liam McGee. He's a freshman. So we show up at Rigby, right, and it's cold, and then we're warming up and it kind of gets sunny, and I'm like, we should start this thing. And unfortunately Rigby was taking their team picture, and so once we finally got started, it started to snow, and unfortunately we were unable to finish the match, but we're gonna make it up Tuesday. We're doing it all day, or we're gonna go to Rigby in the morning and Madison in the afternoon, Tuesday, April 2nd. But anyways, the snow came down more than that as it went on. So it'd be turned into like a little blizzard with wind, but the kids were still playing when it was like that for a minute. But that's East Idaho sports at its finest right there.
Yeah, and we're going to show you a couple of baseball pictures where the snow was coming down, Sean, from this past weekend. So we talked about last week, a lot of teams from East Idaho headed over to the Boise area for either the Bucks Bags tournament for baseball or the exclusive 5A spring break tournament. Highland and Madison went over and played in that against Rocky Mountain and Owyhee and Lewiston and Coeur d'Alene and Lake City and 5A teams only. But meanwhile, in East Idaho, Sean, the Chalice Mackey River Cats, one of our favorite baseball co-ops, they were hosting a spring break tournament of their own, the second annual, I believe second annual. Chalice or Mackey fans can let me know in the comments. Second annual Chalice Mackey Wood Bat Tournament. So, of course, most high school competitions, it's aluminum bats. Every once in a while, though, you'll see somebody break out the wood bats and it gets that old school feel. It's kind of a cool deal.
Yeah, it sounds a lot different, right? When the ball hits the wood and when it hits those metal bats, it's a lot different. And, they kind of do that with softball, too. Like adult league softballs will have a wood, like a wood bat tournament where everyone's hitting with a wood bat. It's pretty fun, a cool experience for the kids. And, changes up the gameplay a little bit, too, so you get some interesting results.
Yeah. So it was a little four-team affair. Chalice Mackey welcomed in fellow East Idaho 2A programs, Salmon and Soda Springs, and then Idaho City, a 1A program from District 3, came all the way up to compete as well. And basically, Sean, it was a round-robin tournament, and then after everyone played each other, the two teams with the best records met in the championship, and then the two teams with the lesser records met in the third-place game. The River Cats went undefeated at this thing, Sean. They beat all three teams, Idaho City 10-1. They beat Salmon 15-2, and then they beat Soda 9-3. So that put them into the championship where they took on Salmon. The Savages got to the championship because they went 2-1 in competition. They lost to Chalice Mackey, but they beat Soda 11-2, and then they beat Idaho City 11-2. So it was Chalice Mackey and Salmon in the championship. They're district rivals as well, by the way. And it was a 13-7 victory for the River Cats. So congratulations to Coach Ryan Millick and the boys for winning the Chalice Mackey Wood Bat Tournament.
Yeah, congrats. And I have to ask you, because I'm looking at the pictures, what is Idaho City's mascot?
They're the Wildcats.
Okay, yeah. I like that IC on the hat. I kind of like that. The blue, they have the blue with a Notre Dame. It's a Notre Dame gold-blue kind of combo, but they have like an IC. It's kind of cool hat there for Idaho City. I really like it.
Yeah, no, it's really cool. In Idaho City, for the first time last year, Sean, they have only had a baseball program for like 3 or 4 years. And so last year they got to state for the first time in school history. And then not only that, they got their first state tournament win in school history as well. So it was a big year for Idaho City last season on the baseball scene. But Sean, I mean, for those that have never seen, where the field is at in Chalice, I mean, it is essentially nestled right against the mountains. It's a really incredible view. I'm going to share some pictures. These are all from the Chalice Mackey High School Baseball Facebook page. And they do a great job posting updates and pictures and videos and all sorts of fun stuff. This is kind of like an aerial view of their field, Sean. Check this out. I mean, look at that scenery just beyond the outfield wall. You go right into the rolling hills in the mountains.
Yeah, I mean, Chalice is beautiful. There's some really cool places there. I really don't want to say because I don't want other people going, but they have some hot pools and a camping site, and it's phenomenal. It's there's not a bad view. There's an old ghost town, mining town, too, you can visit, which is pretty cool. Yeah, it's... Chalice is it's gorgeous.
I mean, that's a pretty good view. I mean, I still think Orofino has the ultimate, where there's literally the Clearwater River just beyond right field. But man, that's a great view there in Chalice. Sean, this is what it looked like for part of the proceedings on Saturday. You can see the snowflakes coming down. This was
looks good to me. Looks good. It looks good to me.
yeah. Playable, right? And then here's another. Like, look at how big those flakes are, right?
Jeez. Yeah. It's there's just been a lot of these little swells. Swells of what they've been, told to me as they're called, but where it can be like snowing like this in one place, and then 20 minutes down the road, it's sunny. That's just kind of what we get in the mountain towns.
Yeah. And you'll see over here, Ryan Millick, the coach, is the one posting these pictures, and his caption was swear words.
I'm right there with you, Ryan.
Yeah. You've been in that club as well, right?
Yeah. And I mean, they're a little higher up too. And it's tough, but you know, they got out and got it done, and that's what you got to hope for at the end of the day, is just to get some gameplay in and done. And that's great that they did that.
Yeah, it's been a great start to the year overall for the Rivercats as well. Not only did they go 4-0, Sean, at the Woodbat tournament, but their very first game of the season prior to that was also a win. So Chalice Mackey is 5-0 on the season. They started their season with a conference win over North Fremont, Sean. They won the game 3-2. So their first game of the season was a conference game. Not only that, though, they got the win, and it came in walk-off fashion, Sean, as Ruger Nichols, who actually is a Mackey student, and it's a Chalice Mackey co-op, yeah. He hits the walk-off home run against North Fremont. We've got the video again from their Facebook page. Watch this. I think it comes on the next pitch.
And you got those mountains in the background, right?
Yeah.
Swing for the mountains.
Sean, can you hear the audio at all?
I cannot.
Okay. Well, in my headset, look at that shot. Woo.
Yeah.
That's pretty epic, right? Crushed it out to left field. One two-run shot.
Oh, yeah. Two runs on, yeah.
Yep, and there comes Ruger Nichols crossing home plate. Pretty cool, right?
Yeah, that's awesome.
Pretty epic. So what you couldn't hear is one of the parents was filming that, and you can hear him kind of whispering, like, like on the first pitch that we saw that was low and away, like, I think he's going to hit a walk-off homer. Like, you can hear him whispering that, and then as soon as the ball left his bat, he's like, yep, that's a walk-off home run.
So, oh, man. That's,
yeah, it was kind of cool, but.
Can't beat that.
Yeah. So excellent start to the year for Chalice Mackey. Keep up the good work, Rivercats, and we'll continue to keep an eye on them. Sean, from great hitting to great pitching, let's check in with the Sugar Salem Diggers baseball team. They've been busy in the early going here, Sean. They have already played. They've already played the Bill Betts tournament in Fruitland. They went over to play in the Bucks Bags tournament this past weekend. They've already played 10 games. They're 6-4 on the season, still getting their baseball legs under them a little bit. But last night, the Diggers come out, Sean, and turn in a combined no hitter on the mound.
Yeah. Jackson Gardner and Carson Harris combined for 15 strikeouts against Jerome, no hits. So pretty good. At one point, Jack Gardner struck out 9 in a row. So pretty awesome stuff there. And Sugar comes up with a 7-1 win over Jerome. But 9 in a row is a phenomenal feat by itself. But a no hitter between two pitchers. And of course, we know Carson Harris from he's a little bit of a football player too. But yeah, his name comes up a lot in the fall. But it's going to come up a little bit here in the spring too.
Yeah, and so again, the Sugar Salem baseball Twitter account tagged us and had some cool pictures we're going to share here on the PrepCast. Here you can see it's Jack Gardner in this first picture, and he threw 5 innings and had 12 strikeouts, including 9 in a row, Sean. He set down 9 Jerome batters in a row, which is awesome. And then Carson Harris came in for the final 2 innings, and he had 3 strikeouts. Here's Carson Harris. You can tell it's him because he's number 44 in football as well, right?
Yeah,
keeping that jersey synergy. So
Carson Harris kind of probably reminds me of a great closer the Chicago White Sox had, Bobby Jenks. I don't know if you remember that guy. He was a big, big dude. Came in and closed games down for the White Sox. I feel like Carson Harris is he's a pretty big dude, can come in and do the heavy lifting when needed at the end of games.
Yeah, for sure. So when I was younger, Sean, I didn't have the full beard. I just kind of had the goatee, and my brothers would make fun of me, and they told me I looked like Bobby Jenks when I did that. So
you kind of do.
Yeah. So yeah, Bobby Jenks. I know all about Bobby Jenks for sure. So
I thought that might be obscure enough, but you know, 2015, the White Sox win the World Series, but man, he was phenomenal. He went on and played some small plays and was coaching too, but he was an interesting guy, kind of like you.
Hey, that's right. Us interesting folks got to stick together. Okay, one last baseball note and then we'll move on. Pocatello and Highland playing right now as we're recording this, Sean. Crosstown battle at Hallowell Park. And of course, Pocatello and Highland have been rivals forever in every sport, but kind of an interesting twist on this year's game. I kind of liked the theme of this rivalry matchup.
Yeah, they called it, this is from the Highland Rams baseball Twitter, they called it the Battle of the Horns. So for Highland, it's horns up. They've been yelling horns up this past season. And then for the Thunder, it's horns down, you know, for the bison, right? The buffalo. So the Battle of the Horns. Pretty epic. And I liked how they kind of put this, who gets to claim the win for the next 364 days. But both teams, you know, on a good trajectory, Island really building up, of course, Pocatello coming back from a state championship run. So two teams, you know, in different divisions classification wise, but, no loss of competition between them.
Yeah. And that's the only time they're going to play this year, right? And so, of course, the University of Texas basketball team, horns up, horns down, kind of had a kerfuffle earlier this year. It looks like, Sean, right now, just checking in, bottom of the fifth inning, and Highland is up 10-0 on Pokey. So, horns up.
Yeah, it looks like it. So, unless something crazy happens, but anyways, still pretty kind of a fun rivalry, right? 60 years in the making.
Yep, for sure. And so we did talk about Highland and Madison did go over to play in the 5A spring break tournament this past week. Highland, and then weather kind of affected the Saturday schedule to the point where Highland ended up playing Lake City twice, even though they weren't scheduled to do so. They beat Lake City 3-0, and then they fell to Lake City 6-1. They also lost to Coeur d'Alene 12-2 and Rocky Mountain by a single run 7-6. Those are all teams that are going to be in the mix to get to state and then compete at state. Rocky especially, and then between Lake City and Coeur d'Alene, you know, one of those two is going to come to state. You would think, you know, Lewiston's also pretty solid, but this was good competition. And then you look at Madison. Madison goes over and they go 0-2. They lose to Owyhee, the defending champs, 13-8. So they pushed Owyhee for sure. And then they lost to Centennial 8-1. What did we learn more about Madison or Highland from this weekend?
I think it's going to be pretty tight. Conference play when it comes down to it with Madison and Highland. I mean, that Madison game versus Owyhee, I feel like, you know, kind of tells a pretty good picture. Owyhee is the defending champs, 8-13. That's, you know, a couple runs here or there. That's going to make the difference. I did like, however, Highland did say in the last 8 days, they played 7 games. They did 20 hours of field work. And 8 hours of practice, and then had a 14 hours on the bus. So that's a good 8 days, well-earned for Highland. So, you can't take anything away from those kind of outings when you go out and do that kind of work and put in that time and ride the bus and all that stuff. That only helps later in the season. But I'm pretty interested to see when it comes to Madison and Highland in that conference play.
Yeah. And so Christian Kernel does a great job with that Highland baseball program year in, year out. I will tell you, a team to not sleep on is Thunder Ridge as well. The Titans are very, very solid. They are 3-2 on the season, 2-3 on the season. But they've already beaten Minico, which is a really good team. They've beaten Mountain Home. They lost to Bora. They lost to Blackfoot. No shame there. And then they lost to Timberline, which is a powerhouse from Boise, by a single run, 3-2. So I would say keep an eye on Thunder Ridge as well. They are kind of led by, well, a first-year head coach in Caden White, but also another familiar multi-sport name, Sean Hudson Harker.
I knew it was going to be Hudson Harker. Watch him play a little basketball, football. Now a little baseball. And does he pitch? I feel like he's got a pitch.
That's a good question. Let me look real quick. I wasn't prepared for the follow-up question, Sean.
Well, I just you know, seeing him, because I did Thunder Ridge football games this year, broadcast some Thunder Ridge basketball. And so I've seen him a lot. I kind of feel like he could be a pitcher, but.
Yeah, I don't see any positions listed on the roster. So let me see if I can dig up some stats real quick. And I'll tell you. He was an excellent wide receiver in football, right?
And he's kind of a good post, kind of a guard post perimeter. You know, gets inside, does dirty work too in basketball, and good hands. But he's kind of I think a little taller than you initially think he is. So you know, sometimes that height on the mound is he can lay down some bombs.
Yeah. Okay. So Harker has logged 3 innings on the mound so far this year, Sean. 5 strikeouts to 2 walks and no hits and no runs allowed in those 3 innings of work. So
there you go.
One of many pitchers that Thunder Ridge is trying here in the early going. All right. Let's move on to softball. But before we do, if you're from Idaho and you're between the ages of 13 and 18 years old, enter the No Vape video contest to expose the shadowy commercial tobacco marketing tactics behind vaping. You've got like the rest of this week to get that in. You have to create and upload your 90-second vape bashing masterpiece. And then if the judges like what you sent in for a video, you could win a portion of the more than $10,000 in prize money being awarded. The deadline to enter, though, is April 1st. So you got like a couple days left, Sean, to get this thing in. Winners will be announced May 1st. Raise your voice about the dangers of vaping and win big cash prizes from No Vape Idaho. I can't wait to see what the winning video is, or videos.
I think it'll be pretty interesting. Because just for example, now at school, instead of having an assembly for class elections, they have all the kids just do a video. And so it's genius by No Vape Idaho, because that's what the kids watch. They watch these videos, these clips. And so that's what they do for running for student council. And the kids come up with some just amazing stuff. So, and funny, and some satire, and ripping off some funny stuff. And I love a good, you know, making fun of something else. And I think it'll be great.
Yeah, for sure. And then you mentioned it, you know, they'll probably be able to use these winning videos to show in every school across the state. So it's just like genius, like you said. It's pretty incredible. For more details, you can click the link on our website, idahosports.com. You can also just type in No Vape Idaho, KNOW, into your favorite web browser and go from there. All right, softball, Sean. We talked about last week, Pocatello and Malad hadn't had a chance to play yet, and we said those are probably the two best teams in East Idaho, you know, just in terms of what they did last year and who they're bringing back this year. We got the weather report live as we were recording last week's show from someone in Malad. Remember he said the weather's beautiful and it's great and we're ready to rock and roll. And Malad certainly did, Sean. The Dragons picking up right where they left off to a 1-0 start this year. They hosted Snake River last week. They picked up a 14-3 win, just business as usual for the Dragons. Their next game is not until next Tuesday against Marsh Valley at home. And then they travel to West Jefferson and then back to Snake River. So, you know, we'll find out a lot more out about this team after they get a couple more games under their belt, but so far a good start.
Yeah, you know, that's a great win to start off one game, and it'll be very interesting, I think, you know, to see against a Marsh Valley team that's played six games already. So it's a lot different, right, from playing one game to six games. So it'll be a good matchup, you know, with Marsh Valley, I think, just to see where you're at.
Yep, Wrigley Peterson got the win in the pitcher's circle for Malad. Three innings of work. The top day at the plate belonged to Adley Kimberling, senior. She had three runs batted in, went one for two with a pair of runs scored as well. Hit a home run in that victory. Wrigley Peterson also left the yard. I always say left the yard, but I can't assume that, right? It could have been an inside the park home run as well, but they each finished with a home run as Malad wins 14-3. And then for Pocatello, they went over for the Win the Pitch Spring Break Classic, Sean. But before they did that, they went over a day or two early to pick up a couple more games, because you get four games basically at the WTP tournament. And Pokey said, well, we kind of want to play more than that. So they went to Meridian on Wednesday and got a 4-0 win. And then they played at Valley View last Thursday and lost by a single run, 9-8. And then they earned a split on day one of the WTP Spring Break Classic in Homedale. They beat Lewiston, a 5A, 12-1. They lost to Owyhee, the defending 5A champs, 15-0. And then their Saturday games against Jerome and Capital actually got wiped out due to bad weather. So it's a good thing they did go early and picked up those extra games.
Yeah, I mean, if they didn't do that, you know, they would have only had two games so far. And, you know, it's, you got to have those games, get your players where they need to be, get that actual game, you know, feel, practice, pressure, all that stuff, and see where you're at, and kind of some mixed results. But I think they're going to be fine. We know this Pocatello Thunder team is just loaded with talent, and they're pitching, right? I always think softball is just so, that pitching, I mean, baseball obviously too, but softball, when you've got a, you know, just that ace pitcher or a couple of them, you really can get all the way, like, you know, they did last year with an opportunity to win a state title.
Yep, for sure. Kirsteen Kent does a great job in the circle for Pocatello. They are back in action Friday. Doubleheader against Blackfoot. The Broncos are 3-0. They're off to a 3-0 start this year, Sean. And then, to me, really interesting doubleheader next Tuesday. They will travel to Twin Falls to play the Bruins, who are 7-2 to start off the season. That could tell us a lot, right?
Yeah, and the Bruins split with Valley View earlier to start of the year, so that, I think that will tell us a lot. They beat Valley View 16-10, and then lost to them 13-14 and overtime, eight innings, extra innings. So that'll be your good measuring stick comparison there, a team they've both played.
Yeah, but as you start to look statewide, you can already kind of start to see, I mean, it's way too early to forecast how the state softball tournament is going to look, but already you're like, okay, Hillcrest and Blackfoot both look really good. You know, Idaho Falls, I think, is going to be better than people think too. You look at Pocatello, certainly. You look at like Bishop Kelly and Valley View over in District 3. Skyview, of course, is always in the mix too. They're off to a 3-6 start this year. They did lose quite a bit to graduation. You're already kind of identifying
Twin Falls and the Magic Valley, right?
Yeah, exactly. And Wood River, I think, is going to be kind of a sneaky team this year too. You're already kind of identifying who the big players are, and I'm glad they're all kind of playing each other. That helps us out data point wise.
Absolutely. It gives us something to kind of reference, and just so we're not throwing paper airplanes in the wind.
Right, exactly. All right, let's wrap up with a little track talk. Some track and field, Sean. What you were kind of looking at the results and kind of the leaderboard and stuff, and not a lot has changed from when we talked last week. There were a couple of meets, but anything jump out to you with track and field?
There's you know, they had a little tidbit about a future ISU Bengal, Izzy Shelton from Soda Springs. She started out with a major accomplishment by adding 2 inches in the shot put to 38 feet, not only to secure the record, but also get the first place at the Oakley Invitational last Wednesday. So that's pretty cool. So she's already added some people, and she faced some 2003 champions too in that, but adding on to it. And Izzy Shelton from Soda Springs. Don't always, you know, the throwers. I mean, you're pretty good at getting the throwers, since apparently you were one that I heard the other day on a podcast, but
not a good one, but yes.
But I always like to get the throwers in there too. So great accomplishment by her, and to do that shot put. And then she also does the discus as well. So congratulations for upping her record there.
Yeah, and that was in the Idaho State Journal, where you
Idaho State Journal. Mm-hmm.
Let's give some credit to them too, right? They've really
upped it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was just gonna say that was Jeremy Smith. Well, it's actually Jeremy Smith from the News Examiner, but the Idaho State Journal picked up the story and put it in there too. So that's great to get that coverage of the East Idaho people. You know, there's so many, right? There's so many schools and track meets. We can't catch everything, but I thought that was a cool accomplishment to have in the journal last week or this week.
Yeah, new school record in the shot put for Izzy Shelton, and we talked about kind of Yannetti Garbett in the 2 and the 400, and so Soda Spring girls are gonna, you know, Sugar Salem girls will also be very good this year, like they are every year, but you know, Soda Springs is going to be very good from East Idaho as well. You know, if I'm looking teams, right, in girls track and field from East Idaho, I'm keeping an eye on, it's Rigby for 5A, Skyline for 4A, Century maybe with Matea Mangum as well for 4A. For 3A, it's like Sugar Salem, right? 2A, yeah. For me, it's Soda Springs. 1A, I think Grace. You know, Grace did win the boys championship last year, first championship ever in school history. And Grace has, of course, so many fantastic female athletes also. So
yeah, I mean, it's going to be all those same names we've heard from volleyball and basketball from Grace that have just had an outstanding year. And you see that trend, right? You do well in these other sports. When it comes to spring, your team's, you know, ready to just kind of take that step to the next level. So yeah, Grace definitely will be in the mix. But I think Soda, like you said, I mean, they've got some people that can win at places, and they could sneak in there and be pretty good. I also think Madison track is, you might kind of want to watch out for Madison track. I think they've got a lot of people. I think Rigby's kind of the forefront, but Madison too will also kind of be under the radar good as well.
Okay, I like it. You know, already this year, Nettie Garbett already has the top 100, 200, and 400 times in 2A for the entire state. So she's got the top times in all of the sprints. Kinsey Nielsen from Firth. Bella Spencer is a great freshman from West J. She won Tiger Grizz during the cross country season.
And as a, she has the opportunity to win it, right? Cause she won it in junior high as well.
Yeah. She could go like 8-0 in her career at Tiger Grizz, or 6-0, maybe something like that. So they're doing well in the early going. Sage Rowland from Aberdeen has the top 300 hurdles time for 2A track on the girls' side. Aberdeen has the best 4x2 relay in the early going. Soda's got the top 4x4 relay with Garbett as the anchor. Firth has the top 4x800 relay. Malad has the top sprint medley relay. Oakley Hebden is right there in the 100 for Malad as well. Izzy Shelton's got the top shot put throw for Soda. Reagan Bingham's got the top high jump from Westside. It is East Idaho up and down the leaderboard. Daytona Folkman's got the top triple jump mark from Firth as well. So, I mean, just looking at the 2A leaderboard.
Yeah, Aberdeen. I forgot Aberdeen too. Aberdeen boys and girls are going to be, you know, no easy out by any means either. Can't forget about Aberdeen. Tigers are also doing really well in track from last year and continuing to this year.
Yeah, really, really fun to watch them compete. All of our 2A schools, boys and girls, doing an outstanding job thus far. And so, yeah, we'll continue to keep an eye on it, and we will continue to keep an eye on everything going on in East Idaho. But like you said, Sean, there's a lot going on, and sometimes we don't get it all. So if there is a story, a player, a coach, a team that has something cool happening and isn't getting that love and attention they deserve, hit us up, Brandon at idahosports.com. You can find Sean on Twitter at Sean Kane 182. Pocatello Baseball has tagged us in some stuff. Sugar Salem has tagged us in some stuff. And keep up the good work, because it's hard for us to see everything. And so with your cooperation, we're able to share these incredible stories, and that's what it's all about. So
yeah, take the videos. I love seeing the videos, like the baseball video or a slam dunk or a finish at a track meet. Everyone's got a phone, right? Put those memories out there. You don't see a ton of track ones, and there's always a ton of people at track. So it's like, let's get a few more track ending things or something. That'd be cool. If they had just a camera that took a little video of the end of the race, would be cool too. But anyways.
Yes. Speaking of track and field, in a couple of weeks, we'll have an exciting announcement with IdahoSports.com and a local track meet in East Idaho. So stay tuned for that as well, Sean. All right. Thanks for tuning in to the East Idaho PrepCast, everybody. Enjoy the competitions this weekend. Hopefully Mother Nature cooperates. And for Sean Kane, I'm Brandon Bainey. We'll see you next time on IdahoSports.com.